全国翻译专业资格水平考试辅导丛书英语口译实务三级第二盒
第三单元旅游观光
Unit 3 Tourism
Section 4
口译练习听力练习一听与复述
Listen to the tape and repeat what you have heard.
Sydney is Australia's largest and oldest city where you will see many scenic spots. First of all, the rocks is the must-do part of every visitor's enjoyment in Sydney. It was the site of the first colonial settlement in Australia in 1788. The rocks is also home to colorful characters, residents, and artists. In this waterfront place,You will discover beautifully restored historic buildings and lose time as you admire displays in one of the many galleries and museums. It offers a wide selection of dining, shopping, and entertainment. Sydney Opera House is home to Australia's opera, ballet, and theater companies. It must be one of the most recognizable and photographed images of the modern world. Designed by a renowned Danish architect,Its roof is evocative of a ship at full sail. Sydney Opera House was opened by Queen Elizabeth II on the 20th of October 1973. With an annual audience of 2 million, it conducts 3,000 events and provides guided tours to 200,000 people each year. Darling Harbour is a place where Sydney celebrates. It is one of Sydney's most popular recreation spots,with over 1.3 million visitors each year. In the past, it was used for receiving fresh produce and timber from the north coast. Today, there's always plenty happening, lots to see and do, great shopping, and over 50 places to eat and drink at Sydney's Darling Harbour. With four national parks, Sydney offers a superb environment to get back to nature with opportunities for bushwalking,picnicking, and adventure activities. And don't forget to visit the Sydney Olympic Park, which is located at Homebush Bay, 19 kilometers west of the Sydney city center.
二，听与跟述。
Listen to the tape and simultaneously follow up with your repeating the passage.
New Zealand's beautiful landscapes, lush forests, amazing wildlife, and pleasant climate,make it a haven for many outdoor activities. New Zealand society is diverse, sophisticated, and multicultural. The honesty, friendliness, and openness of Kiwis will impress you. The great advantage of New Zealand is that all of its diverse physical, cultural, and artistic landscapes are very close to each other. While New Zealand is a relatively young country, it has a rich and fascinating history,reflecting both Maori and European heritage. Amazing Maori historic sites, some dating back almost 1,000 years, are a contrast to many beautiful colonial buildings. A walk around any New Zealand city today shows what a culturally diverse and fascinating country it has become. New Zealand has a unique and dynamic culture.Today, New Zealanders are largely sophisticated and highly educated urban dwellers. Members of a unique and vibrant multicultural society, New Zealanders are embracing 21st century technology and culture in record numbers. But New Zealanders also have a background of quiet but strong individualism, self-reliance, and a genius for invention, qualities still evident in the population today.New Zealand has vast open spaces filled with stunning rugged landscapes, gorgeous beaches, a temperate climate, and fascinating animal and plant life. It is no surprise that New Zealand's pure natural environment is so attractive to visitors from other countries.
三，听与笔记。
Listen to the tape and take notes while listening.
South Africa is one of the most diverse and enchanting countries in the world.Exotic combinations of landscapes, people, history, and culture offer a larger-than-life experience for the travelers. South Africa's vast landscape includes savannas, snow-covered mountains, forests, tropical swamps, endless beaches, tranquil rivers, and bustling urban centers. South Africa is known for its abundant wildlife, as well as its fantastic birding and ecotourism possibilities. However, the real heart of this vibrant country is the diversity of people and cultures. South Africa's family tree goes way back to the start of time. The country has been regarded as the cradle of humankind because it was here that archaeologists discovered 2.5 million-year-old fossils, as well as the 100,000-year-old remains of modern humankind. Many of South Africa's cultures have their roots in an ancient world. Some of the cultures are relatively new, and others are a fascinating mix of both. As to the weather, many call it sunny South Africa, for good reason. Warm, temperate conditions are typical of South Africa, making it a popular destination for sunshine seekers. South Africa is renowned for almost 7 months of sunshine. From May to August, temperatures drop. However, generally speaking, April and May are the most temperate months. The wide expanses of ocean on three sides of South Africa have a moderating influence on its climate.
口译补充练习。第一天，汉英口译。
Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage from Chinese into English.
女士们、先生们，祝贺在座的各位能有机会参加这次会议。从旅游业的角度来说，我要特别向来自香港以外的所有参观者表示热烈的欢迎。这次会议对香港旅游局来说开得正合时宜。作为第一位致力于关注旅游业发展的政府官员，我对各界给予旅游业的兴趣和关注程度感到欣喜。他们不但来自业内人士本身，还来自社会的其他各个行业。绿色环保组织已经号召我们做更多的事来保护环境以及促进香港市民的绿色生活。那些活跃在文化界和演艺界的人们也已走出来强调这些方面可发挥的潜力。我们向外发出的信息格外响亮和清晰，即我们要用更为广阔的视野来开拓香港独特的文化遗产，进而增强我们对游客的吸引力。在我阐述对香港文化遗产游的想法之前，我想先简单回顾一下香港的旅游业。自从第二次世界大战结束以来，香港经济经历了一系列的结构性调整。它已经逐步发展成为以服务业为主的经济模式。旅游业一直以来因其吸引外汇的功能，在香港经济中占据着重要的地位。事实上，旅游业已经经历了长时间的增长。数十年来，香港以东方之珠的美誉，对西方游客产生了自然的吸引力。特别是苏思黄的故事和李小龙等超级巨星的遗迹，更是唤起了许多人的好奇心。他们都想亲身游历这座神秘之城。在上世纪七八十年代，我们还赢得了购物天堂的美名。上世纪九十年代中叶前，到港的游客人数十多年来一直保持每年两位数的增长。在1996年的高峰期，旅游业占到了全港生产总值的 7.6%， 直接或间接吸纳劳动力约33万人。随后亚洲金融危机的爆发降低了香港地区旅游业的发展水平，但危机一过，游客人数就开始回升。毫无疑问，旅游业将继续在香港经济中起到重要的作用。然而，随着许多发展中国家，包括我们的邻国，开始意识到旅游业在刺激和保持经济发展中所发挥的有效作用，我们再也不能把昔日的成就视作当然而不予以重视了。因此， 我们有必要做出更多努力来保持并进一步提升我们作为这一地区首要旅游目的地的地位。香港特别行政区政府为此已经采取了三方面的策略来迎接挑战，他们分别是为游客提供便捷的到港方式，通过促进旅游项目的开发来增强自身的吸引力，以及推动香港成为一个具有吸引力的旅游目的地。就游客的入境而言，香港有一个非常自由的签证管理制度，170多个国家的公民到港逗留7天至6个月可以免签证。在过去的2年里，我们已经修改了一些政策，使中国大陆地区、台湾地区和俄罗斯游客的入港变得便捷。在开发旅游项目方面，我们已经开始在一些领域做了初步的探索，包括休闲游、生态游、文化遗产游和多种活动游。这些创举集中致力于新景点的介绍和现有景点的改善，并把注意力同时集中在硬件和软件上。在硬件方面，迪士尼主题公园计划将于2005年之前开放。此外，改建后的海洋公园、国际湿地公园、离岛上崭新的过山车系统和香港仔的新渔人码头，都将增强我们对各类游客的吸引力，从而大大拓展我们的景点范围。在软件方面的创新包括设立国际活动基金，这将有助于把具有国际级别的活动吸引到香港来。我还要提一下，我们还努力改善服务质量来补充硬件吸引力。最后，在市场方面，香港旅游协会是旅游业的营运膀臂，它已经承担了加快宣传重点旅游景点的任务。以生活的城市命名的宣传活动于1997年发起，这项活动旨在向国外市场展示香港这座城市所能给予人们的活力四射而多姿多彩的生活。由于下一位演讲者来自香港旅游协会，我就不在这里多说了，谢谢。
第二篇，英汉口译。
Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage from English into Chinese.
Ladies and gentlemen, the United Nations has declared the year 2002 as the International Year of Ecotourism. The goals of this designation are lofty, and the UN hopes to make environmental protection an integral part of tourism development. But the idea that tourism can be sustainable at all may be a myth.It may not be possible for struggling nations around the world to resist compromising their environments and their culture to lure affluent foreigners and their dollars. Many different organizations, governments, and businesses have defined ecotourism, but I especially like the definition adopted by the Estonian Ecotourism Association. Estonia is the northernmost of the 3 Baltic countries, bordered by the Gulf of Finland in the north, Russia in the east,and Latvia in the south. This definition says, ecotourism is responsible travel that conserves the natural and cultural heritage and contributes to the well-being of local communities. The International Ecotourism Society defines ecotourism as responsible travel to natural areas that conserve the environment and sustains the well-being of local people. Some of the philosophies of ecotourism, as outlined by the Estonian Association,include understanding the social carrying capacity of the area, understanding the ecological carrying capacity of the area, benefiting the local people, appropriate pricing strategies, building environmental costs into the prices of goods and services, and responsible marketing of tourist opportunities. Has experience shown that these goals are even remotely possible? The environmental, cultural, social, and economic impacts of tourism development reverberate in communities around the world, but increasingly target indigenous peoples. The last pristine wilderness areas, national parks, biospheres, and other protected areas, coastal areas, mountains, jungles, and deserts are all indigenous homelands. All are being targeted for increased tourism development, often without full participation, management, and ownership of indigenous peoples. Developments to attract tourists often conflict with traditional uses, such as subsistence farming, fishing, or hunting. Sites that are sacred to the indigenous people of a region, such as rivers, rocks, and other places of spiritual significance, are being destroyed or invaded by tourists. When cultures and lands are changed or destroyed, they rarely revert back to their original uses or forms. The tourist industry netted nearly $500 billion in 1999. But to whom did the money go? Certainly not to local craftspeople and merchants who sell their wares, often handcrafted over many weeks for a fraction of what their time would be worth in a tourist's home country. Certainly not to the thousands of native guides who have given up farming for their families to take a few paltry dollars from stingy tourists. How often have you heard a friend or relative brag about he got a beautiful piece of art for a couple of dollars? If a tourist was really interested in supporting the local culture, if the artisan asked for $2, the visitor would give $20 instead. The tourism industry is encroaching on a remote and biologically diverse areas, home to indigenous peoples, and threatens our environment and way of life. The World Tourism Organization said that in 1998, there were 635 million tourist arrivals around the world. Few of these tourists leave any benefit behind for poor indigenous peoples. For the recipients from host countries of international tourism, the tourism industry creates dependency upon a fickle and fluctuating global economy beyond their local control. Local economic activities and resources are used less for the benefit and development of communities and increasingly for export and the enjoyment of others. With so few international policies and guidelines restricting it, tourism has been given free rein to develop throughout the world. In fact, it has led the globalization process in the areas of transportation, communications, and financial systems. All above is just my personal view towards tourism development. Thank you for listening.
Section 9.
模拟考试
Part 1. Listen to the recorded dialogue and interpret it as required.After you hear a sentence or a short passage in Chinese, interpret it into English by speaking to the microphone. And after you hear an English sentence or a short passage, interpret it into Chinese. You will hear the dialogue only once. Here is the tape script of the dialogue.
你去过香港吗？那个叫做东方之珠的城市。
Not yet, a great pity. But you know...Hong Kong has a natural attraction to visitors like me. In particular, the story of Susie Wong and the legacy of superstars like Bruce Lee have long captured my curiosity. I'm dreaming to have a first-hand experience of the mysteries of this city.
看起来你对香港知道的不少啊。香港还有着购物天堂的美名呢。90年代中叶前到港的游客人数十多年来一直保持每年两位数的增长。
But I heard the Asian economic crisis then came, which must have reduced the level of regional travel.
是的，但危机一过，游客人数就开始回升。毫无疑问，旅游业将继续在香港经济中起到重要的作用。
I see. Nowadays, tourism has grown into one pillar industry for many nations. They all begin to appreciate the useful role which tourism plays in stimulating and sustaining economic development. Does Hong Kong government take measures to preserve and indeed further our position as a leading destination in the region?
是的，香港特别行政区政府为此已经采取了三方面的策略来迎接挑战。分别是为游客提供便捷的到港方式，通过促进旅游项目的开发来增强自身的吸引力，以及推动香港成为一个具有吸引力的旅游目的地。
Oh yeah, I heard that they have reformed the visitors' entry system. Now it has a very liberal visa regime. Residents of over 170 countries can come here visa-free for between 7 days to 6 months. Part 2. Listen to the recorded passage in English and interpret it as required. After you hear part of the passage, interpret it into Chinese by speaking to the microphone. You will hear the passage only once. Here is the tape script of the English passage.
The tourists who stand along the rim of the Great Canyon are no doubt to wonder about the unearthliness and the forces that created and are still changing this place. After more than 100 years of studies, many things are still mysterious. Today, visitors come by the thousands, all in a spirit of marvel. Travelers come from every state of the United States, from every country in Europe and Asia, just as pilgrims to a shrine. From the depths of the canyon comes deep silence, for all sounds are swallowed in this gulf of space. This silence is not the silence of death, rather it is a presence. It is like a great piece of music, but music made of man works up to a climax and pauses. The Grand Canyon is all climax, a chord echoing into eternity. Now, visitors to the South Rim alone may number 18,000 in a single day. Some of that number cross the raging river by a suspension bridge and reach the North Rim. Though the two rims face each other across only 12 miles, it is a journey of 214 miles by car from one to the other. You can visit the North Rim only in summer. It is snow-covered much of the year, except in July and August. But there is no day that you may not visit the South Rim and find the sun warm on your face and the Grand Canyon truly an unearthly sight.
Part 3. Listen to the recorded passage in Chinese and interpret it as required. After you hear part of the passage, interpret it into English by speaking to the microphone. You will hear the passage only once. Here is the tape script of the Chinese passage.
武夷山市是福建省唯一以名山命名的新兴旅游城市，位于福建北部的闽赣交界处，面积2798平方公里，人口20.8万，辖五镇五乡六个农茶厂。境内气候宜人，风光奇秀，物产丰富，历史悠久，人文荟萃，旅游资源得天独厚。这里是全国著名的茶区、粮区、林区和革命老区。改革开放的大潮把这座古老而又年轻的城市推向对外开放前沿。国家先后在此设立重点自然保护区、重点风景名胜区、旅游度假区和航空口岸。福建省在此设立旅游经济开发区。改革期间，这里的市政府把重点放在建机场、设口岸、修铁路等基础设施上，现已逐渐成为旅游、对外开放、交通、文化中心，吸引世人旅游观光的圣地和境内外客商投资兴业的热土。目前，武夷山市正全面实施环保立市、科教强市、旅游经济兴市的可持续发展战略，并确定了用15年左右时间初步建成国际性旅游城市的宏伟目标。
第四单元，文化教育。
Unit 4 Culture and Education
Section 4
口译练习，听力练习。一，听与复述。
Listen to the tape and repeat what you have heard.
Stanford University is a privately endowed institution founded in 1885 by Senator Leland Stanford and Mrs. Leland Stanford in memory of their deceased son. The student body is composed of approximately 14,000 students. Of the 6,600 undergraduates enrolled last year, about 300 came from outside the United States. There were also 2,000 international students among the 7,400 students who were enrolled in graduate programs. Thus, we have a substantial community of international students, even though the proportion of undergraduate international students is rather low. Stanford operates on a four-quarter system. Autumn, winter, and spring quarters make up the usual academic year and constitute approximately the same amount of time. The fourth, summer quarter, is usually smaller in enrollment but offers regular credit. Stanford offers undergraduate degrees in over 57 fields. It does not offer undergraduate degrees in business, law, medicine, or education, though many students prepare for careers in these fields by majoring in a related undergraduate discipline. An applicant applies to Stanford through the Office of Undergraduate Admission, not to a particular school or department within the university. All fields of study are equally open to all undergraduates. An application is invited to specify a field of interest, but this is not required.
Listen to class.com